Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Penny from Tough Age.
My name's Jared. I'm also in the band Tough Age.
And I'm Jesse from Evangelism.
Oh no.
Do it right.
I'm just kidding.
Do it right.
I'm Jesse. Jesse from Tough Age.
So you got a relatively new record. You're on Mint Records. You're from Vancouver, but you now moved to Toronto. We're going to get to all of that. And you are ready. I'm going to do this for fun. According to various things, you are post-punk, which means that you're not punk anymore. You're either the poster child for punk or you're a breakfast cereal called post-punk, which I actually think that someone should invent a breakfast cereal called post-punk.
I do like that. Yeah. I love breakfast. I'm not just like a baby with a mohawk pulling his diaper down, giving a little moon.
Yeah, yeah. But the question is, what would the shape of the cereal be?
A safety pin.
Safety pin. And how do you propose to mold cereal like a safety pin?
Well, I'm not a cereal maker.
What are you amazed in all this time that either no one has asked you yet, or that you wish someone would effing ask you?
I always am like, well, I think the lyrics are pretty obviously interconnected, and there's a lot of references back, in a way, which is funny because I often hate that. But I do a lot of callbacks, so there's like songs with the same characters in the same universe, and no one has ever talked to me because I don't think anyone's ever paid attention to lyric one. So I've always been like, no one ever asked me about the lyrics, and there's like some real through lines. And yeah, I'm like, no, my songs are about like self-loathing and the state of the world and like the trap of art scenes and like the drug culture that runs through them, that you inherently have some assumption of being like involved in, and all stuff like that, and like treating people badly and whether they forgive you and why you don't forgive yourself and how that can be healthy. You know, that kind of stuff. Oh, hello.
I'm gonna go take my anti-depression medicine now.
I was a record collector and I wasn't in bands when I was a teenager, and so I didn't crystallize in this idea of genre. And like when you're into records, you know, there's always like a folk record you want, like a country record, a punk record, you know, a jazz record you're looking for. And so like punk as well, that was like a reflection. When I got really into it, I was like, oh, it isn't the same. But then I was just like this fat kid, and you know, weird, I'm a fat man, I was a fat kid, and I just wore khakis and a plaid shirt, and I go to punk shows in Vancouver, and all these kids wearing the uniform that had crystallized over the years would like try to beat me up for being there. Or it'd be like, you're not in the uniform. And it really like started crystallizing my hatred of what punk had sort of congealed into, or the concept of it. So then especially when we started playing with all these bands and you'd see people who are like, oh, we're a punk band. I'm like, you just play like three chords. You don't throw shows. You don't support your community. You don't do anything in the community. And you have such a rigid definition of what your band has to sound like to be considered this thing. It just poisoned the word for me.
And yet, what day of your life is that word not thrown at you?
Yeah, I mean, probably when I'm at work, and even then sometimes. But yeah, it just was like, I don't know, and I'll stop talking for 9 minutes, but the very specific crystallizing thing for me along with that was like getting really into the Minutemen, which for me, when I was younger, I was like a big fat guy playing a Telecaster. It's why I play a Telecaster. You know, like weird music, doing Creedence covers in there, taking like one chunk of a Van Halen song. And I got really, really into the Minutemen, and none of my punk friends liked them. They all were like, oh, that band sucks. And I didn't understand. And I was like, oh, because you just close off. Now punk reflects like a closed off, with like without any adjective in front of it. It just means songs about the girls at the beach in the summer and like distorted power chords.
Is there any formal training in music for any of the three of you? Did you actually learn to play your instruments formally, or is it really DIY?
I haven't learned to play any of the instruments I play in this band formally.
Yeah, but you were at conservatory, right?
Yeah, I did conservatory piano as a kid.
Okay, that's real.
Yeah, not me. Not at all.
But I kind of deliberately, like, I don't know the names of any of the notes on the guitar or any of the chords. I deliberately won't learn them.
so you align it with the alphabet, just kidding. Yeah. And then there are these lines.
Yeah.
Then there are these lines
That's
and
those
the notes.
People kept
the
saying.
Notes. The notes are put in these lines, and depending on where the note is in the line, is never mind.
Yeah. You I know you took drum lessons, Jesse, but did you do anything formal? I don't even know a formal, I guess, school. You didn't go to school, did you?
No, I didn't. I took about a year and a half of lessons with this jazz drummer, John DeWall, in Calgary. But really, I learned how to play by being in, like, weird rock bands when I was 17. You know, like, that's how I developed my own style and actually learned how to play a drum kit, like, in a real way, I would say.
I like this quote. Don't move anywhere with a desire to make it. What's your definition of making it, and how do you know whether you've made it? You're signed.
Yeah.
You've gotten to me. You, we're going to get to in a few minutes. It's not like you make your records in a garage by yourselves. You actually have, you know, people who are surrounding you to do this. So talk to me about the definition of making it and what that really means.
For me, like, yeah, the thing about moving is Penny's from Toronto, like, grew up here. And we moved back because her family was here. And I am from Vancouver. Like, I was, you know, grew up there my whole life. I'd never lived anywhere else. And, like, I was 30 years old. You live one place for 30 years. You got to move somewhere else, try it out. I just felt like we should. And Penny wanted to be closer to her family. So we moved here. And, yeah, and then people and have such an idea. Like, you moved. They're like, oh, well, the music scene.
I'm yeah, like, well, because people wrote about it, which is, like, oh, that's, I never expected anyone to write about us moving yeah. to Toronto. But they said, you know, their tough age is moving to Toronto to move up. And it's like, well, that's not part of it at all. But I can see why it looks like that.
Well, it just shows how, like, limited Canada is. They're like, well, there's only one reason you do that. And I'm like, I mean, clearly often it's like, well, have you met me? Probably not. Because you know that if there's an open door that I slam it shut with all of my might at the first sign of provocation or, like, compromise. Yeah, I don't want to be too negative. There's so many amazing people doing stuff in Toronto, but I found because the city is so much bigger, and, like, being from smaller cities growing up, Vancouver, and I just from knowing you, Jesse, also another, and knowing people in Calgary, the same is true there. They're small scenes. You can't be rigid in what you like or dislike. You need to really cross genres and, like, have friends who play all different types of music, because it isn't big enough. But Toronto, everyone can be like, I like this, I like X, I like Y, and there's a lot more for me definition, and which falls into sort of what we were talking about earlier. So I found a lot less genre cross pollination, or that scenes were very almost isolated and hard to. Like, to be in more than one for me at the same time.
The connection between zines and comic books and all of this and the music and the art and the way that this band operates. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think both of you are both into comics. We got painted with a brush because I'm a loudmouth and talk so much. And I love comics. But, I mean, yeah, when I was a kid, comics and records, that was what I was into, you know. I very specifically, like, I was straight edge almost just as a teen because that meant I had more money to spend on comics and records, and comics kept going. And as I got older, I started working comic books in comic book shops, and I've worked in shops now for 13 years, like, on that side of things, and work on comics festivals and things like that. So yeah, it's just, like, a very important art form to me and what I draw a lot of inspiration from. And yeah, I mean, just by nature, I think being in Toronto, the thing that was very strong and very connected for me when I moved out here that felt the most like Vancouver was the comic scene, and that there's so many people at varying levels. And it's such an amazing scene here, and a lot of people helping each other, for lack of a better term, unlikely friends. And it was, like, very much when I moved here what reminded me of home. And then just for comic art, it was, I'm just, like, privileged from being in the comic sphere that I know all these great comic artists. That we can call on. But then, say, for, like, this record, Connor Willemsen, who I think is one of the most amazing people in comics, Jesse did that because Jesse knows him from back in Calgary, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I was interviewing Connor about his new book about Bradley Cooper.
That I was launching at the store, yeah.
And I was just like, hey, we are interested in getting you to make the art for our album and, like, drawing our portraits as a comic book press photo kind of idea. And yeah, I mean, we're just being really lucky, like, mainly through your friends and people you know in the comic scene. I think we have, like, top-notch merch and album cover art just because of these, like, brilliant people we get to work with.
What a great segue to Which Way Am I? And where to start? I know where to start. Let's go back to the sound. Let's go back to Montreal. Do you know where I'm going here yet? Where am I going? Where am I taking you to?
The Bottle Garden Studio, I'm guessing.
Would I be taking you to your producer, Peter, perhaps?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So how far do you go on the demos before you bring it to someone like Peter?
Not at all. Like, Peter hadn't heard those songs, I think, unless he came to a show before we went to record them.
Yeah, I'd say we more like road test them as opposed to like demoing. We just like get the songs really tight on stage.
So you're really doing this in studio?
Yeah, just, some like, of them really we were from... like partially writing in studio as well.
Or rewriting.
Yeah. Like, some of them were very new.
Yeah, because that happens.
Kept coming up with more and more ideas for songs.
I always throw out songs and then bring either newer ones. I'm like, yeah, throw those ones that we know how to play out. I want to do these newer ones. Well, when we moved out here, I was wondering who to record the next record with, because I obviously spent all this time in Vancouver knowing people and then was like, I don't know anyone out here. And I'd known Peter had recorded, and Peter and Kaylin, his partner, who both play in the band Free Love Fenner, had recorded so much stuff at the Bottle Garden, which was their studio, that was all music that I loved. And very specifically before that, they had recorded this band Moss Lime that I just thought was like a perfect thing that exists in the world, the first Moss Lime recordings. But he had done so much for labels out there. And I mean, Jesse, you knew him because Jesse had lived in Montreal. So, you know, playing in bands and knowing them anyways, I'd also just known so many people that worked there. And I was thinking about it. I think Jesse was like, well, we could think about going to the Bottle Garden in Montreal. And I was like, yeah, they make nice records. But I looked up an interview with him and Kaylin, and they were like, what's the perfect sound of a record? And their answer was Joy of a Toy by Kevin Ayers. And I was like, all right, we're recording in the Bottle Garden. It's like really what it came down to.
Yeah, and then, I'd recorded there once. I used to play in this band Silver Dapple when I lived in Montreal. And we recorded four songs at the Bottle Garden. And it was just like a great experience. And it's like a cozy little basement full of tape machines and like great old
gear. Yeah, it's just in his house.
We recorded like, our previous album with Peter. And so...
But that
with
when
this
we
album,
down.
We were like, let's do it again.
So, yeah, I guess, yeah. So that was for Shame. Like, when we recorded Shame, our last record was with him. And that was how that all sort of happened. So for this record, well, I'd also recorded with him with another band I'm in, a band I played bass in, Protruders. We recorded our album with him as well. And, yeah, it was just like, I want to go back. And
so there's a history.
Yeah, it was just like, and also, especially having been there twice, and wanting to have more of a hand in producing, I know what gear he has. I know how he works. I know we're going to drink 9 pots of tea and like talk about Guided by Voices for a while, and then we're going to go down to the basement. And he's very like reserved. He'll give you his opinion if you ask for it, but he isn't steering the ship. But he will, if you're like, why don't you take control for a while? He'll be like, well, I think you should probably turn to the left. You know, which I
but he obviously steers the oral ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we missed our train on this record and ended up going late, which gave him and Jesse a whole day just to set up how the drums sounded, which I think was his eternal delight.
Oh, that was amazing! Yeah, we spent like multiple hours tuning the snare, you know, just like getting it exactly right, and
nice. Which to me is hell. Yeah.
For me, it's heaven. I don't know. It was like just to dial in the sound and like chill out with Peter was.
They
so
could
great.
Do that without us being like, "Come on, let's move it along."
Yeah,
but it's the same as Jared and Peter having like a 9-hour Guided by Voices conversation. Yeah. That's like my hell.
Yeah, so. Then I'm still like, "Come on, let's move it along."
So I'm just gonna give you cues. Let's see, signing to Flying Nun.
Not real.
I know that, but in the fantasy world,
not even
of isn't that Jesse? Isn't that your dream situation?
Oh, I mean, I love Flying Nun. Yeah, absolutely, one of my favorite labels on the planet. Yeah, but it's
so. Is there truly a connection between that song, Penny, and
Jared?
And that, or
thinks it is.
I think it's a burn.
He
on
thinks
me,
it's
for sure.
About him getting signed to Flying Nun. For me, it's like a song about what you were talking about before, which is like, don't you think you have made it? Like, you're signed to a label. People like the music, all this stuff. You know, people are making records out of your songs. For me, I'm pretty satisfied with that. But I know it's hard to feel happy with what you have. And so getting signed to Flying Nun was kind of a symbol, if you will, of that feeling of success that's just on the horizon. It's like, if I get this, I'll be successful.
I'll be happy.
It'll all be worth it, all this.
I talked about this yesterday because our record was number 2 on the charts in Canada again. We've never beaten, we've never been in first. Every album has gone to number 2 and that's been it. and I still, though I said, I maintain the one time the number 1 record was the Daft Punk album with Get Lucky on it. It doesn't about that. But my thing is, I woke up this week and I was like, this is it. Maybe we'll get number 1 this time. And I sort of stopped and was like, my day is going to go exactly the same if we're 1, 2, or not on the chart.
And like, be like, oh, cool, number 1.
Yeah, be like, oh, that's cool. Well, time to go to work, you know?
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is 2 of your songs on the outside and songs by others in between.